The Accidental Entrepreneur is produced by Beinhacker Law and brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors. One of One Productions, the New Jersey-based podcast studio that produces and edits both audio and video podcasts. They sell equipment for the average podcaster and have even created a guesting kit exclusively for our listeners. North Authentic, the conscious hair care marketplace offering the cleanest brands from around the world. The Healthy Place, the e-commerce site with thousands of supplements to help you live a healthier life, along with natural solutions for chronic pain, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, and much, much more. And be sure to support the podcast by ordering some logo merchandise from our online store. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
You know, he said, hey, here's my number. I want to start a record label. You know, maybe you'll be the person to run it. And I was always someone that, you know, got really excited if someone took an interest right. in, you know, my talents and abilities. So sure. I started talking to this gentleman and I wrote this business plan and I was really proud of it. And he said, yeah, why don't you, you know, when you get to New York, why don't you run my record label? And I thought, wow, this is amazing. He's going to provide me with a place to live. And this will be that stepping stone to bigger and better things that I could eventually, like, you know, start for myself. And the day that I got there, it turned out to all be a scam. And yeah. He wouldn't even meet me in person to tell me to my face.
So he was there. He was a real person in the business.
He was a real person. He wasn't in the music industry. He was actually a real estate investor. And so he, you'll appreciate this, had me go from, the city, you right. know, where I landed in JFK, all the way out to Long Island. So I, you know, I had to drive like an hour and a half to get to his office in Long Island. He made me sit for 6 hours. Yep. 6 hours.
Doctors don't even make you wait.
Literally never came out. And then the receptionist said, you know, he's too busy. He can't see you. Go to this hotel. And they put me in a cab to some, like, I think it was a Hilton or a Hyatt in Long Island. And he'll call you there. And this was like literally my first night in New York. And then I'm sitting there waiting. It's like another 3 or 4 hours go by, you know, now it's nighttime. I keep calling, like he's not answering, you know, my calls. And then I get a phone call from him and it was, Amy, I'm just letting you know, I'm not going through with the record label. So good luck. And that apartment I promised you, you know, is no longer available to you. And he hung up on me and he didn't even give me a chance to respond. And I was just completely stunned. Oh, I, you know, broke down crying. Yeah. And then I just like was giving myself a pep talk. And I said, listen, like, this is a really shitty thing that happened, but there's no other option for me than to just like be scrappy and figure this out. Like I now have no place to live. And then I got a call from the front desk manager saying that he was taking his credit card off the room and I had to come down and it was like $200 a night. And I literally had like, I think it was $100 or $150 to my name at that point.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
Hi, I'm Amy Mallon. I am a partner at the True Heart Cause Agency and a co-founder of the True Heart Social Impact Search Engine. And I'm excited to be chatting with Mitchell on the Accidental Entrepreneur Podcast.
So, Amy, I want to thank you. I know it took us a little while to connect because you're a very busy person out in Hollywood doing all kinds of fancy schmancy great stuff. And I'm sure that, you know, schedules are constantly being shifted around, especially if it involves, you know, media and television and right interviews and things like that. You even hit me and said, listen, we got 45 minutes to do this, which should be plenty of time. So I do appreciate that. But maybe before we get into True Heart and everything you're doing there now, we go back and tell your backstory and kind of what you what brought you to the point at which you are in life. Does that sound good?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Happy to share and grateful to be here with you today, Mitchell, and talk with you on the Accidental Entrepreneur.
Appreciate it.
So yeah, you know, for me, my personal and professional life are inextricably linked. I decided to devote my life to making a difference in the world because of having survived domestic violence and sexual assault and human trafficking earlier on in my life. And there were so many points where I didn't think I was going to live to see another day. And I made a promise to myself that if I did, I would dedicate my time and my energy to giving back. And in those difficult times that I went through, you know, it was very isolating. You feel like you're the only one in the world that has this sort of pain. Right. And on my journey of healing and my path to recovery, one of the most powerful tools for me was living a life of service. Because when I volunteered and I was working with, whether it be kids at local children's hospitals or kids in foster care, yeah, or active duty servicemen and women or wounded veterans or volunteering with an animal rescue group, I then realized that I wasn't the only one in the world that was suffering. We all have some sort of pain and trauma and tragedy and obstacles in our lives that we have overcome. Yeah. And so when I was focused on how I can help other people and give them a hand up, I took all of the energy off of my feelings of depression and anxiety and PTSD. And it felt so good to form these deep bonds with other human beings.
Empowered.
And I realized,
bit, right?
That's why I'm here. I'm here to rally people to come together and support great causes. And that's one of my most beautiful gifts. And so that gave, you know, my pain and suffering meaning.
Yeah.
And I wanted to use them as powerful ways to help others.
Right. Well, I mean, isn't that how, let's, for the lack of a better term, use bad actors in the world take advantage of people? Because you feel isolated, you feel like it's only happening to you, and they disempower you, if that's even the right word, but they take away your power. But where did you grow up, Amy, originally?
Yeah, I'm originally from Miami, Florida.
Okay.
And then I started our cause agency in New York City 24 years ago. And then I've been out in LA, it's almost 17 years. So I've had the pleasure of, you know, living in Miami and New York and LA, three great cities, and having all of these different cool experiences in my life at different points of my professional career. And when I lived in New York, it was the most amazing place to be for me at that point in my life. And my grandparents who raised me, their favorite song was actually New York, New York by Frank Sinatra. And they played that on their record player my whole childhood. And I'll never forget that when I moved to New York at 19, I only had a few hundred dollars to my name. I had a few suitcases. I borrowed the money for the plane ticket to get there. It was literally a life-saving move, escaping this awful situation of trafficking in Miami, and the fresh start and a chance to really have this beautiful, happy, and safe life that I knew that I deserved. But I had my favorite line from that song in my head: if I can make it here, I'm going to make it anywhere.
Yeah.
And it always kind of fueled that fire in me to never give up, because New York is not the easiest place in the world to make it.
That's the whole point of the statement. Yeah. You know, like I always say, if you learn to drive in New York City, you can drive anywhere. It's a crazy place. If you can learn to live and make it in the city, it's not the most forgiving city in the world, but it happens to be a great place culturally, a great place, you know, just just life experiences and meeting people and making connections. Now, back in Miami, when you were going through all these difficult times, I mean, you didn't have a business plan like I'm going to go to New York and start the, you know, the True Heart Agency. You had right no idea. You just picked up and said, I got to get out of this situation. So what happened? I mean, you moved to New York. You had, as I'm sure a lot of people go with limited resources, they sell everything they had and they go. What was your, if you had any sort of a plan or idea in your head? Or you just wanted to get the hell out of there? I don't know.
Yeah, I needed a quick escape route. And my family was all originally from New York. So I always felt this calling to go there. And in my research of entertainment, which was always a passion of mine as a kid, I didn't have any like family connections to the industry. So I was starting, you know, literally at zero.
Right, right.
But in my research, I discovered that, you know, New York is one of the top media markets in the world. Yeah. And I knew obviously it was the home to Broadway and so many wonderful entertainers. So I felt this pull to go there. And it was the place where, you know, my grandma and grandpa grew up. So it also had this like family heritage, you know, for me to want to be there. But I literally didn't know anyone when I got there and I had no place to live. And I literally cold called the people and the companies that I wanted to work with and talk about, you know, becoming an accidental entrepreneur.
Right. Yeah.
Most of the people that I rang up were like, I don't know who you are and hung up on me.
Of course not. Right.
Thankfully, I came up with a pretty clever strategy. I spent like the no money that I had, literally like a few bucks. And right. I would turn up to these offices of the record labels that I wanted to work with. And I would befriend the receptionist.
That's they were like the gatekeepers.
Yes. And so, you know, first go around, they would say, listen, I'm not going to like put my job on the line for you. You're a nice girl, but I don't know you.
Right.
And then I just said, look, I cannot fail. Like I have no other option but survival here. So I'm going to keep coming back.
Right. You're not getting rid of me. I'm not giving
yeah,
up.
And just like let you get to know me and I want to get to know you. And then I started, you know, bringing like bagels and coffee or flowers or donuts and making these like connections and developing relationships. And a few of these like amazing women got me 5 minutes on the schedule of their bosses. And, you know, it only takes one yes, right, to propel you
right.
forward.
Of
so
course.
I was blessed that there were a few record labels, you know, in their marketing departments that said, okay, this girl's smart. She's tenacious. She doesn't give up.
Obviously.
And she's got some great ideas.
Right.
Let's give her a shot. And then, you know, through word of mouth, after I did a great job on my first few projects, the business started to grow. But in the beginning, it was being scrappy was my superpower. That's how I, you know, started the business and grew it the first few years.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely how a lot of people do that. They just, you know, they just don't even consider failure because that wasn't an option for you. Failure would have been meaning you have to go back to Miami, which you're not going to do. Right.
Nope.
And you're going to, so that's what it was. You wanted to go, you wanted to get a job in marketing in the record industry. And you hit New York to do it. That was basically, and did you have a college education at that point?
Given
what you'd gone through in Miami?
Yeah. So I was a year and a half ahead in school, going in from my college credits and APs that I did in high school. And then because of the situation I was in, I had to stop. I think it was roughly like 32, 33 credits shy of getting my degree.
Okay.
But you know what? It's never impacted me
it sounds
in
like
my
it never
life.
Has. Right.
I was studying radio and television broadcasting in college. And although I don't have a degree, you know, I'm definitely a student of the School of Hard Knocks. And
right.
I learned by, you know, trial and error. I definitely, you know, in the first few years as an entrepreneur, made a lot of mistakes, like fell down on my butt and picked myself up. But
right.
you know, I learned one of the most important lessons, which is if you can help it, don't repeat your stupid mistakes. Make
well,
new ones.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we all grow. Right. And I think sometimes we learn more from our mistakes. And I remember it was you when I spoke to you or someone else that was telling me recently that they would happily make all the small mistakes. It's just avoiding the bigger ones that, you know, really kind of set you back. So, okay. So you were in college, you were studying this field. It was something that was already of interest to you. And then you brought that with you from New York and you weren't going to give up anyways. It didn't matter. There's no connection between having a college degree and success. As a matter of fact, I think there's no connection
whatsoever. There's plenty of people who have never gone to college, some not high school, and they're successful. And there's others that have all these degrees and they can't, you know, get out of the box because it's more the personality and stuff.
Okay, yeah, so here you are. Was blessed. I was just going to say, I was blessed to have this great conversation with Mark Cuban when he supported one of our charity campaigns a few years ago. And we were talking exactly to your point, Mitchell, that there is no correlation between a high school or college education and the success that you create for yourself. And Mark is someone that, you know, I admire as a human being because he is so generous and does so much to give back, but also as an entrepreneur. And it just felt so good to hear him say that and, you know, validate that I wasn't, you know, missing something in quotes and that, you know, without that piece of paper, like the sky was still the limit for me and everyone with big dreams that they wanted to pursue.
Yeah. You know, he's sometimes you see him on TV and sometimes he's hard on the people that are making presentations, but you can tell that he genuinely, you know, cares and wants to help. I know that he put his foot down at the beginning when ABC had pieces of everyone's business. And he's like, listen, I'm not doing this. You can't do that. These people are trying to, you know, turn their lives around and reach their dreams and whatever. But I appreciate you mentioning Mark Cuban. My son is in the process of graduating Indiana University where Mark went. So he's coming out this spring. So
amazing.
That's pretty funny. The one person you bring up. But so here you are, you're 19. I think that's always fascinates me because I don't know when I was 19. I mean, I grew up in the suburbs in New Jersey. I had a pretty uneventful life. My parents sheltered me. I didn't face those kind of difficulties. And I don't think at 19, I could have gone. I don't think I literally went into the city alone without my parents till I was like in law school. If I think about it, you know, in those days you would drive with your parents and you'd see things in New York City. You're like, oh my God, I'm not getting out of the car. And that's like in Columbus Circle. We're not talking like Harlem.
Totally.
The city was a rougher place in those days, you know? So I think there's a lot to be said when you're 19 years old. So here you are, you're 19, you go there. Where did you end? You said you almost didn't have, where did you live? You obviously didn't live in the streets and then show up in tattered clothes to try and get a job, right?
So I didn't, I literally knew like nothing. I had no game plan. Initially, there was a gentleman that I met who had offered me an opportunity to run a record label that he was going to fund. And I thought, oh, this will be my stepping stone before I start my own business.
You met him in New York when you were there or before?
So I went on like one trip to New York, like a few years before, and I was visiting a friend at MTV and VH1. We'll call it like someone I knew through business of doing all these events in Miami. Okay. And this gentleman approached me outside of the MTV headquarters. And you know, I was young and naive, so I didn't do like the level of due diligence that I do on everyone now.
Right. And it's a little harder then too, right? Now it's easier to do due diligence on people.
Right. There wasn't social media then. Right. And so he said, you know, was asking me kind of what my hopes and aspirations were. And I had worked in radio and was a DJ. And, you know, he said, hey, here's my number. I want to start a record label. You know, maybe you'll be the person to run it. And I was always someone that, you know, got really excited if someone took an interest in, you know, my talents and abilities. So I started talking to, this gentleman and I wrote this business plan and I was really proud of it. And he said, yeah, why don't you, you know, when you get to New York, why don't you run my record label? And I thought, wow, this is amazing. He's going to provide me with a place to live. And this will be that stepping stone to bigger and better things that I could eventually like, you know, start for myself. And, the day that I got there, it turned out to all be a scam. And, he wouldn't even meet me in person to tell me to my face.
So he was there. He was a real person in the business.
He was a real person. He wasn't in the music industry. He was actually a real estate investor. And so he, you'll appreciate this, had me go from, the city, you know, where I landed in JFK, all the way out to Long Island. So I, you know, I had to drive like an hour and a half to get to his office in Long Island. He made me sit for 6 hours.
6 hours.
In the room. Yep. 6 hours.
Doctors don't even make you wait.
Literally never came out. And then the receptionist said, you know, he's too busy. He can't see you. Go to this hotel. And they put me in a cab to some, like, I think it was a Hilton or a Hyatt in Long Island. And he'll call you there. And this was like literally my first night in New York. And then I'm sitting there waiting. It's like another 3 or 4 hours go by, you know, now it's nighttime. I keep calling, like he's not answering, you know, my calls. And then I get a phone call from him and it was, Amy, I'm just letting you know, I'm not going through with the record label. So good luck. And that apartment, I promise you, you know, is no longer available to you. And he hung up on me and he didn't even give me a chance to respond. And right. I was just completely stunned. Oh, I, you know, broke down crying. Yeah. And then I just like was giving myself a pep talk. And I said, listen, like, this is a really shitty thing that happened, but there's no other option for me than to just like be scrappy and figure this out. Like I now have no place to live. And then I right. got a call from the front desk manager saying that he's he was taking his credit card off the room and I had to come down and it was like $200 a night. And I literally had like, I think it was $100 or $150 to my name at that point.
Right.
So I couldn't afford that. So I went down and I spoke to the manager and I explained like the whole situation, like what I had just come from in Miami and why I was in New York and that this guy like screwed me over. And I said, like, I cannot go back to where I came from. Like, this is my chance to actually like live, to survive. And so please, like, can you help me? And he paid for me to take a car to the city. And I just said, all right, I feel like if I can get back to the city, I'll have like more opportunity to make some phone calls and more resources and more help rather than being in Long Island where I literally knew nobody.
Right.
And wasn't familiar with like anything out there.
How did you
Long
get
Island.
Out there to begin with? You said you drove out there.
Oh no, I was in a taxi. Yeah, from the airport.
So you had to they paid for that?
I made them pay. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't afford it.
Right.
So then I went back to the city and I got dropped off at Grand Central Station. This is again, like I knew just these landmarks.
Right, of course. That's what you know.
Where do you want to go?
Yeah.
Take me to Grand Central Station. And I was literally sitting on the floor with my three little suitcases, just crying my eyes out by this payphone.
This was the middle of the night.
Yeah. Now it's like midnight, 1 a.m. and a police officer came over and, you know, it's like, are you okay? Like what's going on? And I said, I just moved here today, but I don't have a place to live. And I don't know what to do. And I'm scared. And I moved in the winter. I didn't even own a winter coat. I had no idea what winter
was.
You were
from Miami, right? Yeah. I didn't think about it.
Yeah. So, I remembered then that this really nice guy, Brian Gordon, who I had hired one of his clients to do an event with me in South Beach when I was working in nightlife, lived in New York. And this was like my Hail Mary. And at that time, you know, when we were all younger, people didn't go out until late at night. So you could
call people. It wasn't like pandemic.
At midnight, 1 a.m.
Right.
So I put my quarter in the payphone and I called him.
What's a payphone, right?
Exactly. And he answered and he lived with a few roommates at the time. And I said, hey, remember me? We just, you know, did this project a while back together. Well, I just moved to New York and I just started crying. And I said, look, I had a bad turn of events. I had a place to live. And the gentleman that was, you know, going to be in business with me took that away from me on the same day that I got here. I don't know what to do. Any chance you have a couch that I can crash on? And he was so kind and generous and said, tell me where you are. I'm going to come with my roommates and pick you up. And they did. And they took me out to get a meal. I hadn't eaten all day. And they said, all right, you can stay on our couch. And I stayed on their couch for like a week. And then this is something I would never advise my children to do.
Yeah, especially nowadays.
But I had to do what I needed to do to survive. And so coming from Miami, where like I would walk down the street and just say hi to everyone. That was kind of my nature. I didn't realize it worked a little bit differently.
A little different in New York. They're not going to be so. Yeah.
But I still was just myself. So I was just approaching like nice New Yorkers on the street and on the subway. And I was trying to explore and just like learn about the city. And so I met someone on the subway like who was a few years older than me. And he was an investor in real estate. And he said, hey, you know, can I take you out to lunch, you know, and like welcome you to New York? And he seemed like a nice enough guy. So I said, okay. So we went and like had this lunch. And he said, look, I have a tenant moving out of an apartment. There's no furniture. There's going to be no water there and no electric. Yeah. No water, no electric. I guess they were transferring like the utilities to the next tenant.
Right.
But it has nothing in it, but you won't be like on the streets and you can have some place to stay until the new people move in. Do you want to do that? And I said, thank you so much. Yes. So I then stayed there and I literally had like my clothes and suitcase on the floor.
Oh,
and I just like wrapped a shirt over myself as a blanket. And I slept with like my head on the suitcase. And that was like my little kind of bed for a few weeks till the person moved in. And it was a series of these like beautiful events where I was helped by the kindness of strangers. And I love New Yorkers. I will always, always carry New York with me in my heart because it was so good to me at one of the most difficult times in my life.
Yeah.
But these incredible strangers that I met in New York who took me out to eat when I literally had no money to afford food or let me sleep on, you know, their floor, their couch. I was able to do that for almost 9 months, just going from place to place.
Just couch surfing.
Random people that I met who gave me a safe place to stay so that I could get back on my feet. And I am so grateful. And that's one of the reasons that it's so important to me that I always pay forward my blessings. I know what it's like. I was homeless at 2 points in my life, escaping these violent situations. When I lived in New York, after I got there, I was on a $3 a day budget for food. That's all I could afford. So I had the same egg white and cheese sandwich and coffee from the corner bodega. And then my dinner was a 99-cent pack of trail mix. And
oh my God,
that was just so I could get like enough nutrition to sustain for the first few months.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Looking to get into podcasting? Maybe to market your business for your own enjoyment or because you have a message you want to get out there. One of One Productions is a New Jersey-based studio just over the George Washington Bridge that caters to the booming business of podcasting. They offer a comfortable atmosphere using the latest technology available to record your podcast. And they are a full-service media company offering both audio and video production services, creating both audio and video podcasts, as well as video shorts for business and personal use. Professional audio equipment packages are available through their website for all budgets, and be sure to check out their podcast guesting kit, created specially for our listeners. Care for your health. Care for the planet, and look flippin' great doing it. North Authentic is a conscious hair care marketplace offering the cleanest brands from around the world. Their pro stylists curate only the most fabulous non-toxic hair products with better-for-you shampoos, serums, masks, and more that actually give you gorgeous hair without hurting your health or the planet. Hey, you've only got one life, one planet, and one glorious mane. Might as well treat them all as best you can, right? Try a 100% clean hair care routine prescribed just for you using their link in the show notes. If you don't see a big, beautiful difference in how your hair looks and feels, you can tell them they're crazy. Do you battle chronic pain, stress, anxiety, or depression? Well, if you take any supplements or you're interested in natural alternatives, you need to know about findyourhealthyplace.com. Find Your Healthy Place has thousands of supplements to help you live a better quality of life, as well as natural solutions for chronic pain, stress, anxiety, depression, sleeplessness, and much, much more. Need guidance? Use their live chat feature and talk to a wellness consultant right on their website. And be sure to use our coupon code TAEPODCAST for all your purchases to get the best prices at findyourhealthyplace.com. Follow their links in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
You know, I know what it's like to not have enough. And anytime I see someone who is, you know, a neighbor that's living on the street or someone who can't afford food to eat, I always run around with these snack packs in my car and I give them out, or I buy, you know, grocery store gift cards or buy someone a meal, because I feel so privileged to be in a position to have enough for my family now. And I just always want to pay it forward and help when I can.
My God. See, that's why everyone, I don't know if I should cry or I mean, your story is unbelievable. And so when you write your book, if you're not working on it already, because
I've been working on it for like 10 years. It's almost done.
It should be called The Kindness of Strangers. I mean, you got lucky that nobody was a creep, you know, nobody tried to take advantage of you. That happens so often. But I mean, it's such a good story about not just, you know, perseverance and overcoming difficult odds, and that, you know, it works out if you just keep working on it, but it's probably a good networking book too. I mean, you're out meeting everybody and approaching people with very few people could go to a city, right, and say, hey, I want to move here and I want to start a business or a career or whatever. And I know nobody. I mean, I know very few people that are able to do that. You know, you got to be a hell of a salesperson, or you got to have a hell of a, you know, what's the word? A lot of, you know, self belief. And maybe your situation helped in that you didn't really have a choice. Like, you weren't going back. You weren't giving up and say, well, I'm going to go back to my parents with my tailbone. That wasn't an option. Right.
Yeah, I can only move forward. And so, you know, keeping my eye on my goal of just feeling like I was physically and emotionally safe and had a chance to create the life that I had always imagined for myself, quitting was never an option. And there were some really difficult times those first, you know, few years in New York. And I learned a lot of priceless lessons. But most importantly, I discovered that I'm unbreakable. And obviously, these things that happened in my past, they didn't get the chance to, you know, ruin my present and destroy my future. I survived all of them. So that just proved that I had the staying power to still be here, and that, you know, with a lot of determination and hard work and grit, I was able to build something beautiful out of nothing. And I think everyone has that within them. You just need to learn how to unlock, you know, those gifts. And when you can tap into that passion, whatever it is that sets your soul on fire, you really can make your dreams a reality. And you can really build a business that not only, you know, generates success for yourself and your family, but hopefully more importantly, also makes an impact in the world and gives something back in a beautiful way.
Yeah. No, look, there's people that are going to go one of two ways having those kind of experiences, right? One, they're really mad at the world. They don't, you know, they feel victims. They constantly have negative energy in their life, and they end up on that road. And you didn't end up that way. It made you appreciate everything more, you know, drove you to do even more than, you know, look, a lot of people do charitable things. They don't make it their life's work. And you made it, you're a social entrepreneur. I mean, you're the quintessential example of that. So I, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. And I think, I don't know. I met a lot of people. This whole podcast has been a big social experiment for me, meeting different kinds of people and different kinds of scientists, and people have studied this and that. And I think that there's something about certain personalities and people that, like you said, they're just not, you know, breakable. So there's a lot to be said. And I would like an autographed copy when they first come out. I want to get an early copy when they come out. So I appreciate that. So let's go back. So now this is about 24, 25 years ago, right?
Yeah.
When you finally turned the corner, or you found what you wanted to do, or so how did you come to that? Because you wanted to work in a record label, right?
Well, that for me wasn't the ultimate goal. That was just like a stepping stone. And when it didn't work out with this shady investor guy, I just decided that I was going to start my own company, and the record labels were going to be my clients. So those were the folks that I, you know, showed up at the office and said, hey, let me market, you know, your records, and let me produce some events for your artists. And that worked out. And that was the way that I started building my business. One of my first projects that I had the pleasure of working on was a white label remix for NSYNC. And at the time, they were one of the biggest bands in the world.
Right.
And it was also crazy how that happened, because I met someone out at a club, and I'm a non-drinker, but you know, my background is in DJing. And as I said, working in nightlife. So I figured I felt at home. Like if I went there, I would end up meeting some good people. And as it turns out, I met this guy who actually knew a friend of mine and someone that I dated when I was in college.
Had a connection.
So it felt safe. And he said, well, I work in entertainment and so does my roommate, and we're going to have this cocktail party and it's all people in the industry. You should come. Well, I got the time of the party wrong and I showed up an hour early, but it was the best thing. Yeah, it was the best thing that happened. So when Aaron, the gentleman who I met at the club's roommate, answered the door and told me that I was early, I said, no problem. Let me help you set up. That's kind of like my forte is, you know, planning and hosting events. Yeah. So as we're like preparing, you know, the hors d'oeuvres, I'm listening and in the background, I hear the song that's playing. And I said to Aaron, wait a minute, is that a Teddy Riley like bass riff? And his jaw just dropped. And he said, you knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, that's so specific. How do you know that? And I said, look, I'm a nerd for music. That's kind of my thing. And I DJed for a while. And he said, yeah, you're absolutely right. And then the chorus kicked in and it was bye, bye, bye. But it was done in this cool like R&B remix that Teddy Riley produced. And when I found out that he had worked at Jive Records, I said, well, what are you guys doing with this remix? This is so cool. This will make Bye Bye Bye, this traditional pop song that's big on radio, cool in the nightclubs. And he said, well, we don't have any plans for this record. And I said, why don't you let me market it?
Yeah,
I know all these DJs around the world. So let me do a white label remix of it. And you hire me and I'll promote it and it'll be big. And so this was one of my lessons of how green I was in business. I didn't calculate the shipping costs of the vinyl in my proposal to the label, and I had to ship a lot of vinyl overseas. So It got expensive. So I ended up losing a few thousand dollars. This was one of my very first projects when I eventually had the money to start my business. But it was amazing because it was a successful project from the marketing and PR side. So I did an incredible job for the label, which led me to get more projects from them and then go sign other record labels as clients. Yeah. And then I obviously learned a very valuable business lesson there in factoring in shipping costs.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
Projects.
Right. You got to really figure out what your actual cost of delivery is. That's pretty funny. So just for me and for people listening who don't know your business, what is white label? Like white labeling a record, what does that mean?
Oh yeah, so white label is a limited edition copy of a record.
Makes it like special. Shared,
yeah, very special. Okay. And so when you send that out to nightclub DJs or radio DJs, they're the only people in the world that get it. And it's like a promotional vehicle. So it's a way that fans can discover this really cool limited edition remix by an artist that they love. So it's another version of a hit song that you can discover through this white label.
Stores where you could buy it or anything like that.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay. Well, that explains that whole thing. All right. So that's a great story though. But that's also like, I can't tell you how many times where I've just gone to something that was in my industry or related to something I was interested in, and you make connections. I mean, that's what the world's, you know, all about. And you, well, you also lucked out because you had the time wrong. So you were there and you were talking to them and one thing led to another. But I think I'm a big believer of, what's this term I use all the time? If you play in traffic enough, you're going to get hit. You know, it's true. And you can't do it once, right? You got to be out there doing it every day, figuring it out. And of course, you had to figure everything out every day, including what you were going to eat.
Yes.
So you had a business in Miami. It wasn't like you said, oh, I'm going to go out on my own. I'm 19. I'm totally ignorant. So it doesn't matter. I don't know what I'm doing. You had started an events business. You were doing things down in Miami. So it wasn't that daunting. It was a little bit of a, okay, I think I can do this type of a thing, right?
Yeah, it was different because I hadn't had like clients on retainer before. So that was new for me. You know, working in nightlife as a promoter and as a DJ, you get paid cash to either, you know, bring people to the party or, you know, create the soundtrack for the party that night. So writing business plans and, you know, press releases.
Yeah.
And having clients on, you know, retainer and providing a set amount of services for them on a monthly basis.
Yeah, having that monthly was a cash whole, flow changes your life, doesn't it?
Yeah. And that was a whole new world for me. And it was just an amazing experience. You know, I have said to our son who's 10, you know, to me, it doesn't matter if you want to go to college or not. If you decide you want to be an entrepreneur or be a philanthropist, you know, you want to travel the world the first few years after high school, whatever you're doing, if you're putting 110% of your heart and your passion into it, then right. I'm going to be proud of you. And for me, you know, my greatest lessons have come from my life experiences.
Yeah, much more so.
Yeah. And that's the conversation that I've already started having with, you know, our son, saying, look, if you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, you absolutely need the highest levels of education, because you're advising people with some of the most important decisions of their lives. And what you're learning in those books is critical information. But if you want to be an entrepreneur, it's going to be more about the relationships you build and learning trial by fire, making mistakes, seeing what works for you and what doesn't. And really just coming up with that big idea that you believe in that also satisfies some sort of need in society, where you are, you know, providing something that people want, and you're giving a great product or a great service to the world.
Right. And I think a lot of it has to do with just doing it, right?
Yeah.
Because some people just like, they write a business plan. They took this course. It's got to be perfect. They haven't started yet. And they're going to make mistakes anyway. So there's ways, and you grow into things that you don't even expect, right? You ended up doing all these different things just because they kind of, you either fell into them or you connected with somebody and you said, hey, you saw an opportunity. You didn't have to ask them, hey, what are you doing with that record?
Yeah, I could have just listened to it.
Yeah.
I could have just been bopping my head enjoying it and then let the moment pass by. But I think it's having this awareness, kind of always, you know, being a really good listener and then knowing how to connect the dots. Like, okay, wow, here's a moment where I can step in and say, I've got these skills and talents, and I have something to offer. Maybe we can create something together here. You know, sometimes you get lucky and an opportunity presents itself, but I think the majority of the time you have to create those opportunities for yourself by recognizing this is good timing. You know, I'm with the right people, and there's an opportunity to present where I can add value. I think if you're always being a person who's trying to be of service and add value, people really appreciate that. And they want to work with people they know, like, and trust.
Right.
So if you're one of those people, you're going to be someone that people are going to want to have around and collaborate with.
Definitely. It's definitely positive vibrational energy. You know, having the right attitude, and people just, they don't even realize it. It's subconscious. They just get attracted to you, and they want to, you know, they meet you and they're like, I don't know what she's doing, but I want to participate in it. And there's a lot of people like that. Okay. We could go all over the board here, and I know you only got about 15 minutes or so. So let's talk about, you know, True Heart and kind of how you developed into doing that and what it was then and what it's become now. Because obviously you're doing other things before you got on the charitable route, but maybe you want to fill us in, and then we'll talk about how people can get involved and meet you and connect.
Yeah, I'm really, you know, lucky now that most companies in the world have a corporate social responsibility division, and they've realized that, you know, consumers want to purchase products and services from companies that are not just taking and saying, give me your money, but also realize they have a responsibility to give back.
Yeah.
And make the world a better place. And so, you know, when I started out over 2 decades ago, I had to say to people, let's have our Grammy party or our MTV Video Music Awards party or, you know, our Super Bowl event have a cause associated with
it. You had to bring it up to them.
Yeah, I was hardcore pitching that. Let's make it a party with a purpose and an opportunity to, you know, have a few hundred to a few thousand people in the room that want to raise funds and awareness for a great cause. There were a few other early adopters, you know, at that time who also were heart-centered people that said, absolutely great idea. Let's go for it.
Right.
Now everyone's doing it, which is amazing because it just makes the world a better place.
Right. Absolutely.
So, you know, with the cause agency, we specialize in connecting celebrities and purpose-driven brands to come together and help raise millions of dollars for deserving nonprofits. And we produce these global social impact campaigns that shine a massive spotlight on the mission of the charities, which are driving hundreds of millions to billions of earned media impressions across television, radio, print, online, and then also social media. And so with that business, it's been incredible to team up with all of these wonderfully generous stars from music, fashion, television, film, sports, and now, you know, this whole new world of social media influencers.
Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable. These people online that are making money and
oh,
you
yeah.
never heard of them, you know, 10 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. But to use that platform for good, you know, my husband, Scott, who's also my business partner, and I, we're comic book, you know, nerds, and we love the Superman, you know, line, with great power comes great responsibility. That's our favorite. And we're big believers that, you know, if you're blessed to have this platform, if you can make a living by, you know, playing sports or playing pretend on TV or, you know, singing some beautiful music, then you have a responsibility to do good with that platform and to inspire and empower your fans in joining you to transform their local communities. So being able to bring people in sports and entertainment together with their fans to raise money and awareness for good causes is just a dream come true for me every day, because we get to support some of our favorite charities and make these incredible programs come to life. Yeah. And, you know, it's all of really leveraging their star power in the media so we can create all of this massive awareness for the work that these nonprofits are doing.
Now, the company is your client, right? The corporation is your client, or is the charity your client?
So most of the times it's purpose-driven brands that are our clients, you know, whether that's PUBG Mobile, the number one mobile video game in the world, or IHOP, for example. Sometimes celebrities are our clients and they'll come to us and say, we want you to create the campaign on our behalf. And then sometimes the nonprofits,
because they already have a connection with a charity or something.
Or they want us to match them with a nonprofit. They have a personal connection to a cause or just something that they're really passionate about. And they say, hey, we know that, you know, at True Heart, you do a really good job of vetting your nonprofit partners. Match me with what we call a fund a dream project. So a very specific program that we can fund. So rather than raising money for general funds where people, you know, then say, hey, I donated, but I have no idea where their money went.
Right.
We only raise money for these funded dream projects. So whether it's, you know, purchasing new ventilators for the NICU at a local children's hospital, or whether we're planting 150,000 trees in the Amazon rainforest with our friends at Global Green, we can show the measured impact to every single person involved in the campaign.
Right. They're like directed funds, like with foundations where people donate money and they said, it's this fund is segregated and it's only going to be used for high school scholarships for kids who want to go into the art, the performing arts, or something like that. Right.
Exactly. Very and then directed. We produce these beautiful impact videos. So where we get to show the celebrities, all the donors, our friends in the media, where every dollar went to make a difference. And then when we ask people to support, you know, on campaign 2, 3, or 4, everyone is so excited because they feel like together we really accomplished something. And they then understand that we do all have the power to make a difference.
So you have really people entering the system from all points, your matchmaking and introducing and connecting them all. So, but you obviously couldn't start. Well, I guess you were in the record business. You were with celebrities. So it was easier for you to pivot and to get in front of these people, and you knew how to do it. Right. And which helps, but you've been able to do so much good with it. So let's talk, cause I know you probably have like 5 minutes, and then they'll be like, Amy, you're on set too. tell us about the website. Cause I know True Heart's now got a website. It's almost like a search engine, right? Could you explain what that is all about? People can go look trueheart.com, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we launched this summer our True Heart Social Impact search engine. And the reason why Scott and I created it is, you know, we feel like there are billions of people in the world with big hearts who want to give back and make a difference. Yeah. But most people don't have disposable income to donate to charity. And they've been largely excluded from philanthropy. And we thought, that's unfair. And there's got to be a better way.
To donate your time, right? Volunteer.
Yeah. So using the power of tech for good, we created our own search engine. We teamed up with Bing. So Microsoft powers our search results. Okay. And when you search with us at trueheart.com, we donate 80% of our net profits to our 6 amazing charity partners who work tirelessly every day to help people, animals, and the planet. So whether you're 8 or you're 80 years old, if you're, you know, looking for that cute puppy dog video, or you're checking the weather, or you're making a dinner reservation on your phone, your tablet, or your computer, this is a way that you can consciously take your power back and commit to having your searches make a social and environmental impact.
Okay, I misunderstood then. So True Heart is really an overlay to Bing, where you can do your searches, but it directs a lot of the revenue to charitable organizations.
Right. So like any search engine, we make money if you click on our organic ads. And then we also have affiliate partnerships set up. So, you know, if you buy something from Target or if you book a trip with our travel partner, TripAdvisor, then we make a small percentage of revenue. And so, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the global search engine industry makes hundreds of billions of dollars every year.
Yeah.
And all
tiny increments, because there's so much searching going on.
And all of that wealth is being accumulated by a few massive companies. So we thought, if we can redistribute even just a small portion of that wealth to charities who are on the front lines doing incredible work every day, then we have an opportunity to make a real difference. And we're giving people a free and easy tool. Everyone searches the web anyway every day. Right. So why not search knowing that your searches power donations to charity?
Right. So just bookmark trueheart.com, use it for all your searches. Doesn't matter what you're searching. And then and they'll direct some money to good instead of to all these corporations that don't need to make billions of dollars. They make plenty of money.
And you don't need to set up a profile. We're not creepy snooping you like other people do. All your searches are private.
No secret cookies being dropped on your computer.
No. So, you know, it's I think one of the small things you can do that adds up every day to make a difference. And we've seen the power of, you know, those small actions that create a ripple effect of goodness in the world.
Okay. So before you run away from me, and jump off the thing. How can people get a hold of you? That I can obviously go to trueheart.com and search and use that engine, right? But how can they learn more about your organization and you? Are you on LinkedIn and all those types? We'll put it in the show notes. Maybe you just want to mention it.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to follow our True Heart Cause Agency's social impact campaigns and the work we're doing with our friends in sports and entertainment to make a difference in the world, you can check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at We Are True Heart, exactly as those four words are spelled.
We Are True Heart. Okay.
And yeah, and then our cause agency website is wearetrueheart.com. Again, exactly as those four words are spelled.
Good. Okay.
So you can email us through the website, and we're always happy to hear from people who have cool ideas or causes that they're passionate about. And if we can team up and do some good together, that would be amazing.
Well, Amy, I can't thank you enough. I don't remember off the top of my head who introduced us, but a very, very special interview. And thank you for sharing your ideas, your thoughts, helps entrepreneurs, and also to do all the good that you do in the world. So I thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Mitch, for having me. It was a pleasure to be on your amazing show.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.